Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special show at Three's Brewery in Brooklyn. We've got Greg Dorowski. It's your Saison Day, man. Thanks for inviting me. And a big cheers to our sponsor, Union Beer, distributor, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. So I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and this is Saison Day. So, Greg, it's our second day, Saison Day. We did it last year with you and Rob Todd from Allagash. Tell us a little about how Saison Day came about.
So Saison Day came about, I guess, a few years back when Allagash launched their Saison into the market. You know, they decided to commemorate the day and celebrate it annually with Saison Day. So Kristen, our sales manager in the area, approached Threes. We talked about hosting it here back when we opened up last year. It seemed like a no-brainer at the time. It was a great event. We were all here last year, had a great time. When she approached us again this year, it again was a no-brainer. And, you know, this year we brewed a special beer with Allagash to, you know, add to the celebration.
Great. And let's introduce Joel Ford, one of the brewers here.
Hey,
how are you, man?
Good.
Always great having you on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here at Saison Day.
And Corey McNutt from Allagash.
Yeah.
And tell us what you do at Allagash, because you have a special role up there.
I'm a brewer and cellarman. So anything that, you know, we brew, beer.
Good stuff. I saw a picture of you a couple years ago. You're just loading a keg onto a pallet.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing about you.
I might have had a mullet then,
too. I was going to mention the mullet.
Yeah. There might have been a mullet at that point.
Yeah. And we got Eric, you work for Allagash, too?
Yeah. I used to be production. Now I work maintenance. Awesome maintenance team. Definitely industry leading.
That's great, man. Yeah, I'll tell you, coming from in Maine, there's not that much PR and media about you guys compared to what happens in New York. So it's good to see you personally and meet you. So let's talk about Saison. This is kind of a cool style of beer. Who wants to tell me what Saison is? Because we've had guys like Phil Markowski on, who wrote a book on farmhouse ales.
I don't know. I can start if you want. And, Saison, you know, everyone can add to it, because it is Saison is a very wide category, and you know, some would argue overused category or overused description. I like to think about it more as an approach to making beer, maybe, and more of a mindset. But to start out, it's a French-Belgian style beer that they typically brewed in the fall to serve to farm workers, seasonal farm workers, the next year. Kind of served two different functions. One, at the time, water was pretty dangerous to drink. Part of the brewing process is boiling the wort, so it sanitized the liquid. So it made the water safe to drink. That was one function. And the second function was brewing beer is a great way to preserve grain and carry on the nutrition to people. And to, you know, if you have grain and you just let it sit, you run the risk of it rotting, you run the risk of vermin getting into it. But if you brew it into beer, it preserves it. So it's kind of preservative, and it also makes it safe to drink. Now, you know, from there, it's evolved over time. I think even in the beers that we've tried today, you can see hints of that approach to brewing beer, kind of that mindset. You know, they tend to be a little bit lower in alcohol or more moderate in alcohol. Because they were brewing with fresh hops around harvest time, you know, they tended to be a little bit hoppy. And I think, you know, the best example we saw today was very hoppy. And that was one of the things that really helped it stand out. And, you know, as Americans got a hold of it, alcohol went up, hops went up. And, you know, you kind of see where it is today.
Joel, tell us, you're making a lot of Saisons here at Threes.
Yeah.
Tell me about your Saisons and philosophy.
We put out, you know, a solid dozen in the last year, so it's it's hard to keep track of. I mean, we kind of settled on some yeast characteristics that we like. Then we're using all sorts of other ingredients, you know, like a whole lot of wheat flour even, you know, different grains, different hopping profiles, that kind of stuff. It's a pretty broad stylistic category, so...
You guys have some cool names, Wandering Vine, with paradigmatic flexibility.
That's a mouthful. The one we brewed with wheat flour that Joel was talking about, we brewed it with Anson Mills Red Fife Wheat. You know, $500 worth of wheat flour we put in this beer. And, you know, that beer is called The Dictator is the People.
So flour as in, like, milled flour?
Milled flour. We got them to mill it coarsely for us. I think if we did it again, we'd get them to grind it even coarser because we kind of made a substance that looked a little bit like cement. But
just stick it.
Well, we stuck it. The funny thing was, it's putting the flour in, and it's like, this does not look good. It's a little too fine, and we Vorloffed it, and we started running it, and it was running it slow. We're like, yeah, we'll let it run. And we looked at the clock, and it was an hour later, and we got, like, I don't know, 3 barrels in the kettle. It's like, all right, we'll turn the rakes in the plow, you know, Vorloff it. And then, you know, did it in 2 hours, which was great, which is typically what we normally do. We were lucky. We were very, very lucky. You know, 120 pounds of wheat flour.
Yeah.
You know, over, you know, it was almost 20% of the grist.
What's the first beer that we're drinking, Greg?
So the first beer we're drinking is Eternal Return Chardonnay. It's a blonde base beer that we barrel aged with some different Brett varieties. For about 6 months, and then we split the barrels in half and blended in fresh Chardonnay must right from the press. So we were able to get some fresh Chardonnay must and just blended it right into the barrels, kicked off fermentation again, and it has this really nice... With these sorts of beers, I really enjoy how there's many different layers to them and how you can kind of go back and forth between, you know, experiencing it and understanding it. You know, to me, I think this can go, and you can experience like it like a, you know, natural Chardonnay. It has some very nice Chardonnay characteristics to it. Maybe a little oaky for my taste in Chardonnay, but then if you kind of step back and look at it as a beer, that oak kind of provides a nice counterpoint to link together the beer qualities, the moderate funk, you know, the Chardonnay qualities, and I think it is kind of a unifying element.
It drinks well. It's very refreshing.
It's pretty strong, too.
My mom would even like this beer.
So, Corey and Eric, tell us about what are you guys doing at Allagash with Saison styles?
You know, we have our typical Saison, which has, you know, 2-row, some rye, some oats, acidulated malt, and then it's heavily hopped with Bravo. It's a pretty good beer. It's super dry. It finishes well. And then we also do Century Saison, which is, it's aged in stainless tanks, but we put Brett into it, Tanamyces, and it's a nice beer. It's got great color, great aroma, great flavor.
And we're using house Brett on that, right?
Yeah.
We're fortunate to have a really awesome house Brett strain that we found on site, on accident, you know, over a decade ago. I'll make an interlude, so Corey can always speak a lot more to fermentation process than I can, be one of our top brewers, but...
Yeah, tell us about it. I mean, we've had interlude, you know, I've had most of them, but that's a special beer.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
That's an amazing beer.
Yeah.
I love that beer.
And that's really two strains. I mean, I believe it's our house yeast strain and our house Brett. Aged in stainless for a portion, and then aged in red wine barrels as well.
And then tell us about the collaboration that you guys made, because I was drinking that at the bar. First of all, we are at Threes right now. There's a huge party here. We're going to introduce some homebrewers in a little bit. This part of this day is that there's a homebrew competition. But that's what you're hearing right now. We're actually in the brew room, and every time that door opens, you can hear everybody.
You can hear the people come in. So we have the collaboration beer that we did here for us to try, so everyone should slug down this Eternal Return.
I wish Chardonnay tasted like this.
Eric, you're good. Tell us how you got involved with working at Allagash, man.
In a nutshell, I homebrewed a few times. I moved to South America for a couple years when I was like 25, and I wanted to work in a brewery, and as luck had it, I ended up working as an assistant brewer down there for this place called Sot Microbrewery, or Micro Cerveceria, and I became their head brewer, and I loved it so much I wanted to kind of move back home. I was dirt poor, kind of wanted to have a car and money to buy a burger. So I moved back home, where back to Maine, and I applied to a few places. Allagash was my number one. If I could get it, that'd be my dream job. Applied there in Sebago and Victory and a couple places, and I got a job at Allagash, work production, sellers, same thing. I got hired probably 3 or 4 months tops before Corey here, and we were the same wave in 2012. And then after a few back surgeries, I switched from production to maintenance, just to brewing's hard work. It's trenches. You wonder why a six pack or a four pack costs so much. It's because they're in the trenches, bending over, grabbing hoses, working 10-hour shifts. Your feet are nasty from boots, and I stopped doing that and went to maintenance. So now I work parts and inventory.
What kind of boots do you wear now?
Now I wear some Keen Composito. Do a plug for Keen. Keen utility boots are killer. I wear them and some super feet insoles.
And then, Corey, how did you get started?
I got started, I was an avid home brewer, just kind of fell in love with it, and my buddy from high school was working at Allagash, and I had moved with my girlfriend and needed a place to work and always wanted to work in a brewery, and he helped me out getting the job there, and it's been awesome. It's been a great opportunity.
It's always great to talk to you guys. I got a quote from Rob Todd, because he says the Belgian category, Belgians, they are really open to experimental brewing approach, and there is an unlimited palate. Now, do you feel that that's true, or is that something that you guys are really embracing in Allagash?
Yeah, there's so many possibilities, and it's endless. There's just a lot of flavors going on, and ingredients and combinations with barrels, and it's really limitless, I feel like.
We even did that decoction brew for Session Brett or Lil Brett.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, any different, it's so dynamic. You could have the same beer take Century, put it in Aquavit barrels, and you take that beer and do a decoction brew and put it in Aquavit barrels, and you could even do something else with it. You could dry hop it. And it's the Belgian style is totally
it's great.
Unlimited.
So tell us about this collaboration beer. This is pretty great, right?
Yeah, so this, back when we started talking with Kristen about doing Saison Day here, we kind of pitched the idea of doing some sort of collaboration beer. We've always been big fans of Allagash. Their brewery's amazing. I was up there this past summer, and it's mind-blowing, the stuff that they're doing there, and how they continue to innovate and push things forward. So we pitched the idea of doing a collaborative beer with them. And we went back and forth. They decided that Corey's going to come down here for Saison Day, so we went back and forth with the recipe a little bit. Decided that we were going to use some Maine grains. So we got some unmalted red wheat from Maine grains and some flaked oats, 100 pounds of each of them. That we put into to the mash, and that's what gives it this really kind of nice creamy mouthfeel and really nice kind of texture with a little bit of that kind of toasted wheat thing going on. And they were also nice enough to send us down 2 liters of their...
1 liter.
Or 1 liter of their house Saison culture, which we felt very lucky to get because it is something that is very unique to their brewery and something that, you know, is unique to some of the beers that they do that, that you know, everyone really knows them for. So we fermented it with our house Saison culture, which is a mix of traditional Saison yeast and Brettanomyces, and we added in their house Brett culture. So it has some main grains and some typical grains that we use, our culture, our yeast culture, their yeast culture, and you know, this particular beer, we dry hopped it a little bit, so it gives it that little,
it's real
little
nice
bit of freshness.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Saison Day at Three's Brewery with Allagash and Three's. And now we got the guys behind the homebrew competition, John from Bitter and Esther's. How are you, man?
Hey, Jimmy, nice to see you, man. This has been great. This has been an amazing event.
So we're tasting with the Allagash Three's collaboration. What was your question?
My question was, what was the dry hops?
So we dry hopped it with Orbit, which is one of these blended varieties of hops. It's all Southern Hemisphere hops.
It's New Zealand experimental hops.
Okay.
Low alpha.
Yeah, low alpha, nice and fruity, and Southern Cross as well. And you know, it was a good opportunity for us to kind of see what these hops do. And the hops in the kettle were crystal, which is a hop that, I don't know, seems to be gaining a little bit of popularity. We've used it a few times, and it's kind of nice.
So, John, tell us about the homebrew competition.
Allagash got in touch with us and said, Kristen climbs, so she climbs over at that Brooklyn Boulders, and she, my business partner Douglas also climbs. So she was apparently up at the top of one of the boulder things there and yelled down to Douglas, "Do you want to do a homebrew competition on Saison Day?" And he's like, "Wait till you get down. We'll talk about it." So we were like, "Yeah, sure. We love Allagash. We love Three's. We're totally into it." And we wanted to make it really fair, so we let anybody sign up for it, and then we randomly picked 30 people out of the people who signed up for it and had them bring beers to the store. And then we picked 8 lines out of that. So we wanted to make sure we had the best brewers, and that it was really, really fair. And I don't know if you've ever tasted 30 beers. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And but they were all really good. It was tough to choose, but then we chose the 8 best. So if you taste any of the beers today, and the homebrewers are taking
so today what happened? Really Corey and Greg were the judges?
Yep, Corey and Greg were the judges, and they picked Alex, so, who's one of the best homebrewers that I know, actually.
So Alex, tell us your full name.
Alex Biederman.
And you're part of a homebrew club?
Called the Brewminaries. I'm actually the secretary. So.
So I take the notes.
Are you proud of yourself?
I'm proud of myself today, yeah. It's cool, yeah.
Well, you should be. The beer was really great. And I think all the beers we tried were really great. You know, Corey was commenting that, you know, we didn't see any diacetyl. And
not a lot of off flavors at all.
And, you know, I think it says a lot about home brewing in general that we've, you know, I remember back in the day judging homebrew contests, and at least half of them would be infected with, you know, various off flavors. And today, everything was...
It's really changed, you know, hasn't it? The quality of the homebrews.
Big time, yeah. And that's because of a lot of the ingredients that breweries get, that homebrewers get. It never used to be that way. We used to get what was left over.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing homebrewers making some of the freshest, nicest beers. And you guys kept... when you were talking about, how'd you get into the brewing thing. You're like, oh, I was a home brewer. I've been over here. This more and more with professional brewers. They start out with the hobby and they get bit by the bug, so we call it.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they're doing it for a living.
Like, yeah, we all started on this side of the table as home brewers. Joel was a home brewer.
And still am.
Yeah. I'd like to think the internet too plays a role.
Yes.
You know, there's so much good information out there now. How to troubleshoot issues, you know, the right way to do something, and, you know, multiple opinions. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Cheers to you guys, right?
Yeah, you know,
there's some of my favorite brewers in this room. Right now.
Cheers.
Yeah. Let's talk more about Belgian styles and saison. So you guys as home brewers, what was your approach? You know, John, when you put the ask out for, you know, homebrew saisons?
Well, we didn't have a lot of time, so we were like, if you have a beer ready now, it doesn't matter what the style is, but we're going to judge according to style. So we had to say, if you're going to give us a double IPA, it better be a double IPA. We had to do that. So the first thing that...
So they submitted just a good beer that they had made.
A good beer they had made. The first thing that you're going to get are the home brewers that brew a lot. And that's who we wanted, because they have beer available. So we were able... If you didn't have a beer ready, then you weren't right for this contest. So we got all the best brewers signing up, and they all had beers. I was actually only one guy who didn't have a beer. He was like, no, I don't have any beer.
So how does this work?
Well, X.
I know that guy. That's probably me.
And then we just got the eight best brewers, and then coming here, I tried everybody's beers, and then I was really impressed. I was standing next to Alex the whole time, and so I was a little biased towards it.
So, Alex, what was your approach? When you brewed this beer for the competition?
So, I mean, I knew I wanted to bottle condition it, and I was the only guy, I guess, who brought bottles. But I had 5 weeks. I brewed a beer before. I actually submitted the beer and brewed the beer right away. So I didn't know I was in, but I figured, well, whatever, I'll have saison if I don't get into the competition. So I made what I guess is my American pale ale recipe, like a 5% pale ale, scaled a little bit towards saison, and then I fermented it with a combination of saison yeast that I have, Wallonian farmhouse from the East Bay, and a DuPont culture that I've taken from the bottle. And then it was Hallertau Blanc and lemon drop hops, Whirlpool, like a pale ale, or like I would do it for a pale ale. And then Hallertau Blanc.
Let's talk about Saison DuPont. That's probably the right
Well,
place
that, I
to
didn't
start.
I didn't go for that, you know, and like I was a little afraid that I might, you know, if it was judged as a DuPont, I don't think it tasted like that kind of beer. But I love that. I love that beer.
Talk about Saisons and Belgian style beers, I mean, do you guys go back to a certain classic that you say I've tried to emulate or I would be inspired by? What about you, Corey? I mean,
Saison DuPont's a great one. I feel like if you get it a little too late, it could be a little too
skunky.
A little too skunky, you
know.
What's
the green bottle for
that? Yeah.
That's a new thing, though. Yeah. The green bottles now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about you, Joel? Is there a Belgian beer that inspires you?
I mean, like, Saison DuPont is kind of the gold standard, kind of the thing you should emulate, you know, when you first try to make Saison. Like, if you can make that, you're doing well. You know, their yeast is incredible.
Is there an American beer that's similar to a Saison DuPont? Are you guys making one in that style? And what is the style? What is Saison DuPont? Like, how do we define that? Because Saisons go from like 4% to 7%.
Yeah, Saison DuPont, you know, it captures that, you know, it's very, very straightforward. It's they say all pils malt. So there's no, you know, crystal malts in it. There's no wheat in it. It's just Pilsner malt with golden hops, and that's it.
And that yeast.
And the yeast. The yeast is
supposedly,
you know,
a bottle conditioning yeast too.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's true or not.
We were even talking, you know, because of, you know, the prevalence of sugar, you know, adding sugar to beer, you know, one of our buddies was even suspecting that they may add sugar to it to help dry it out a little bit, you know, kind of as a joke. But it's very simple, straightforward. It's what, 6.5% alcohol, and you know, it's all about the yeast, really. You know, I think that is an important element of Saison. It is a very yeast driven flavor profile, and you know, that was one of the really great things about your beer. The yeast was very, very nice. It was very straightforward and classic.
Nice hop aroma.
Yeah, and the other thing that really set it apart was the hops. You know, you were the first beer we tasted, and we were like, oh yeah, this is good. And then we went through and kind of tasted them, and then Joel, who didn't taste the first few beers with us, you know, went back and, you know, pointed out the hops, and we went back to it. And after tasting the other ones, which weren't as hoppy, it was nice to have that kind of fresh, you know, bright, you know, hop character. And the hops you selected were really, really nice.
But it was a good mix of hop character with and yeast character.
Yeah.
I didn't want to overwhelm with, like, I actually had 4 ounces of Hallertau Blanc in my freezer, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just going to use this for this, but I'd never used the hop before.
Yeah.
So I just did it because, I don't know, with competitions, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. Right now, here, your event space is packed with people trying all the homebrews.
Yeah.
This is Jared Paul, too. He's an industry guy. How are you, Jared?
Doing well, thanks, Jared.
Good, man. He's a beer buyer and GM, and we're going to talk a little more, too. Going back to the judging, and we know about BJCP kind of guidelines and people taking classes all the time to become accredited, you know, homebrew judges. How did you guys judge? Like, what qualities or characteristics were you looking for? What kind of score sheet did you guys use?
Well, we used a BJCP score sheet.
Kristen put together a great packet. Anyone that knows Kristen knows that she's like on the ball and, you know, gets things done. She put together a
scoring from
Allagash.
Yeah.
You know, put together a scoring book for us. Everything was numbered. Had the score sheets. Had the descriptors. It was relatively.
You know, when you voted in a little farmhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually put those together.
But John, so what are the categories? I mean, you know this like the back of your hand. What do you judge when you do BJCP judging? Like, what are you looking for? What are the categories?
With BJCP, you're always looking for what they say the beer should be like. So in a situation like this where it's a Saison contest, if you were to judge just according to BJCP, it would be difficult because you're going kind of beer against beer. With Saisons, and one thing you see with the style is that people do whatever they want and call it a Saison.
Yeah.
It could be a sour Saison, it could be a bread Saison, it could be a hoppy Saison. So that doesn't necessarily meet what BJCP is, which is basically DuPont is when they say what's the word Saison.
But they also do put like Fantôme and DuPont as classic examples side by side, which are totally
different, even better.
Yeah. They're not even close.
Yeah.
So it is weird.
So then, you guys as Corey and Greg, so how did you judge these beers? Because you picked Alex as a winner.
So, you know, I think we break it down. You know, we do appearance, aroma, flavor, mouthfeel, and then kind of overall what we think of the beer, you know. And at Allagash, we have a great, you know, a great sensory program that we taste all the beers that are released. We're trained on a lot of spikes and, you know, off aromas and flavors. And, you know, I think for me, you know, I look at the beer and then I smell the beer, and aroma is huge for me. If I find any off aromas, or, you know, I immediately kind of start breaking that down, you know. And, you know, we just go through those, and then you give an overall score.
So you start with bad, like you're looking for the bad, and if it doesn't have the bad, then you start
I don't necessarily want to say I'm looking for bad, but
off.
I'm just looking for aromas and start breaking them down, you know. Is it a good aroma? Is it a bad aroma? You know, and then from there, where does it fall into? You know, I mean, is it a fermentation issue, or is it a too much oxygen? You know, I mean, it starts going down from there. I don't want to say I look out for bad things, but
you're looking for craft. You're looking for well crafted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a range of colors and alcohol strengths and
yeah,
everything. So it was all across the board.
Yeah, they were, though. It was interesting. As broad of a category as Saison is, most of the Saisons that we saw were within a pretty tight range. You know, I think we saw one that had clear, you know, Brett Brux character, and the rest were a more kind of traditional. Some, you know, I think there were two spiced Saisons, but they were all similar color. All similar approach, which is good to see, because sometimes, you know, as you were saying, you know, people throw a beer to, oh, it's a Saison,
right?
You know, and it's
that's right. So, are all Saisons farmhouses, or all farmhouse ales Saisons? Who wants to take that?
I have no idea.
The answer is yes,
yes, maybe.
Some farmhouse is a marketing term. It's a marketing term. I don't really.
Not a lot of farmhouses in New York.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I also think it has to contribute to the yeast strain as well. I feel that when you see farmhouse saison, it's got like that more almost like barnyards aroma,
a little funk
flavor. It's got like a real funk behind it. It's got some earthy tones to it. It's not full of that citrusy, yeasty flavors. You've got like an undertone of earth that's in it, which isn't necessarily bad. You know, you see it a lot in wine as well. But when you hear saison, you get this feeling of spring. You get this citrus, but big body, warming beer, but it's ripe for the season.
It's a full sensing. It's a full circle kind of like type. You know, it's not necessarily like an aroma or mouthfeel or the way it looks, if it's cloudy or if it's clear. You know, but like it's hard to say. Like people always ask me, like, well, what is farmhouse ale? I always want to be like, oh, it's kind of funky, but you don't want to say funky, so it doesn't necessarily mean it's a wild beast.
Right.
It's a very hard thing to define a bit.
People who don't really understand the word funky as how we're using it think it's a bad word. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's different from barnyard.
Yeah.
You know?
I like horse barn
better. Yeah. It's,
maybe we need a category called barnyard saison. You know? Hey guys, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Today's program was brought to you by the 2016 Food and Enterprise Summit presented by Slow Money NYC. Want to learn how to finance a better food system? Are you ready to showcase your food business or product in front of New York's top players in the food industry? Join like-minded entrepreneurs and investors at the 2016 Food and Enterprise Summit in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Tickets available at foodandenterprise.com. Save 20% when you enter special discount code FRIENDS20 for Heritage Radio Network listeners.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm being bossy because we're at a special Saison Day at Threes with Allagash Brewing. And we're all excited because it's our third segment. And we just got the Allagash Astrid, which is what, a 10% Saison? Kind of pushing the envelopes here.
It's a little high.
Yeah, it's so good, busy good here this day. At Threes, this is the place to be on a Saturday in New York City. And I'll tell you what, even Greg, the brewer here, couldn't get us more beer, but he did it, so we're drinking.
Aren't Saisons traditionally lower alcohol? I mean, weren't they supposed to be refreshing and for the seasonal workers and all that?
So it's useful to push the limits so you can define the framework, right? So this pushes the higher end of the limit.
It keeps it working back. Right?
As Greg was saying earlier, it was, you know, meant for the farmers, and it, you know, to sterilize the water, so they would just drink this out of the fields all morning while they're farming, take their afternoon nap, and then go back to work.
Right.
But they didn't have aquavit.
But the nap was part of it, you know. It was a different way of living. We don't live that way anymore, but we can still drink like that.
I wish we could have a nap halfway through my shift.
We should start doing that.
Corey, this is really, really
re-implement
good.
The siesta.
So this is Astrid here?
Yeah.
So before, I was talking about some spicy of the Allagash beers that I served at Jimmy's number 43, and I just kind of rediscovered the triple. Someone had come in asking for a Duvel, talking about other Belgian styles, which it's always good to mention because don't forget that there are Belgian beers in the world. Someone asked for a Duvel, and she tried the Allagash triple, and she's like, that's exactly what I wanted. And it made me start thinking about Allagash triple, the Allagash white, some of the classics that you're making. How do you make the Allagash triple?
Allagash triple is a fairly simple recipe. I mean, it's two-row acidulated malt. That's it, really, for the grain bill. And then it's house yeast. You know, in the boil, we do add some domino sugar that just dries it out quite a bit. But the yeast really plays the role, I feel like, in this beer. I mean, we just take a simple grain bill and just add the yeast in, and it really shines.
Why the acid malt? Just to lower the pH?
Lower the pH. Portland water is really great. We really don't want to alter it too much, but we need to lower the pH a little bit.
So talk about Belgian beers. Like, what's the role of sugar or candied sugar in that style of beer? Because I know in all the Trappist triples and things, they added candied sugar. I never quite understood that.
You know, it depends on the beer style. I mean, we add candy sugar to some, like rock candy. We add, you know, Belgian candy syrup to different beers. And we also just add regular sugar to the triple, you know. And it plays a different role with drying it out and mouthfeel and finish.
Ferments really well. I mean, it's instant. It brings up the ABV pretty quickly, helps create the style, but it also, you know, doing a certain amount of white sugar definitely plays a part in fermentation, the overall profile in that beer.
John, we hear so much about hops and grains as the building blocks of beer. You know, are a lot of homebrewers working with candied sugars and other sugars?
Well, they will with the Belgian style. They actually do this with the double and triple IPAs. The whole idea is that if you add more malts to increase your alcohol content, you're also increasing your non-fermentables. So, because malt is not 100% fermentable, so you'll have more mouthfeel, more body, which is fine for some beer styles. But when you're talking about a triple or something like that, they will add sugar for that reason, because it's 100% fermentable, or close to 100% fermentable. So your what we call our original gravity, the amount of sugar before fermentation, will be higher, but your final gravity will still be the same. So that the beer, we always say drier, but it actually just means that there isn't any leftover residual proteins and sugars. And that's why. And that's why they do it with like Pliny the Elder or something like that, so the beer is dry, but still very high alcohol, because alcohol is sweet. A lot of people don't actually realize that ethanol is actually sweetness that will balance with the hops. We talked about doubles and triple IPAs. Beer is an amazing thing.
That's a question I always wanted to ask. Candied sugar has never come up in 300 episodes of the show.
And they usually use beet sugar.
But I think it gets back to the Belgian styles, and I'm really, that's one reason I'm so excited about the Saison Day. That I feel like that people haven't really been talking enough about Belgian beers and the original beers. And, you know, we talk about Saison de Pont. And what about Orval? And because there's, I think an Orval Day is coming up soon. But what does anyone know that there's some beers that are derivatives of Orval, like Orval is their inspiration? You guys know any beers?
Orval is real Brett. It's a real Brett beer, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's another one of those classic Belgian style beers. You know, primary fermentation is clean, and then they bottle condition it with Brett Brooks, and it showcases that beautiful Brett Brooks character that we actually saw in one of the homebrew saisons today. And I know for me, Orval was one of those beers that really kind of turned me on to good beer in general. And it was kind of an eye-opening experience. The first time you try a beer like that, it's like, God, what is this?
Maybe around the corner, they used to, at Littlefield, they would sell it for $8 a bottle.
Yeah.
And I remember before I even knew anything about craft beer, I would buy that at, like, shows.
Yeah.
And you'd just, like, drinking Orval out of the bottle. Kind of messed up. But, like, it was amazing.
But also fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
Any brewery that's that old making that one beer.
Yeah.
Like, they're just defining their craft on one beer and perfecting it. Like, that's something to cherish, I think. That's a good, a great beer. If you see that on tap, so we're Belgian.
And let's talk about, so this is the Allagash Astrid. So this is, like, it's real, like, Belgian profile. It's stronger. It's, like, 10%, right?
Yeah, it's aged in Aqua V barrels, which is, like, a Scandinavian liquor. Oftentimes, I want to say caraway and, you know, anise aromas and flavors.
Spicy,
yeah. It's an interesting beer. The first time I, sometimes we'll sulfur barrels to kind of, you know, keep the growth from happening. We use sulfur and...
just kind of sterilize them.
Yeah, and I was told to sulfur the barrels, put the sulfur in, and immediately it was just like just shot out. I mean, it's
the alcohol.
Man. Yeah, it's pretty high alcohol. So it's a great beer, though. I mean, you know, the aromas are really nice. You know, you can smell that sort of caraway, you know, phenolic characters to it.
Way too drinkable.
This is
super dangerous.
Get you in trouble.
It's the most sessional temperature I've ever had.
Pro tip, if you're ever starting to sulfur a barrel, you've never done it before, you're rinsing out with hot water first. Make sure you run cool after.
Yeah.
Because the steam
vaporizes.
You'll put in a hot sulfur disc and think, yeah, I'm going to sulfur this barrel. And the steam totally dampens it. And you're done. That was my...
You know, talking about this style, like a stronger, easy drinking Belgian style beer, and back in the day for me, it wasn't IPAs that turned me on craft beer. It was actually Belgian triples and around 9-10% Belgians that were easy drinking and gave me a buzz. And honestly, you know, we do want a buzz from our drinking. And we talk about, you know, who's going to convert to craft beer from other beers. I think that these are the kind of styles that a lot of people want to drink. And I think I can see more, I'm trying to push more towards more Belgian styles. Since I'm getting a lot of customers saying they don't want a beer that's too hot.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys feel about beers you have coming down the pipeline, Greg, or anything.
Well, you know, hops is just one of the ingredients in beer. You know, this beer here has hops in it, right? But it's not dominant to the flavor profile. And for me, this is far more interesting than double IPA, if only because we can sit here and talk about it and dissect the different layers of it. And, you know, there's a really good story behind Corey.
Why the name Astrid?
You know, I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe Kristen named it or something. Yeah.
No, this is just, it's such a great beer. And I'd agree with you. I think this is... People talk about bridge beers, and typically, you know, when you look at Allagash's portfolio, let's say, they would talk about Allagash White being that bridge beer, the beer to get people who are not into beer. I think you could make the argument that this may be a better rich beer. And so it's definitely bigger, but it does share similarities with the cocktail world. It does share similarities with the wine world.
But there's not a lot of this either.
And there's right. not a lot of it. And as we know, rare is a flavor.
Beers in general, I think, like, you know, a lot of people who don't like beer, like sour beers, you know, you always have that friend who's like, oh, I'm not big on beer, and you give them a sour,
how do you say that?
Trolley. On the flip side, you've got friends that like, yeah, you have people that don't like beer and you get them in with a sour.
That's right. Eric, what's your last name? I didn't get your last name.
Meter.
And then Jared's name, you've been a beer buyer.
Yeah.
And
I don't know what I was going to say anyway. But
I lost it.
Damn you, Astrid. But Jared, what, as a beer buyer and working in some, you know, fine establishments in New York City, did you see an interest in these type of beers?
I do. And, you know, working in restaurants that offer, you know, American craft beer, you have a lot of, you have an older generation that who fell in love with Belgian beer because that's all they knew as good beer. Because it was either Belgian beer or Bud Light and Coors Light.
That would be me.
Yeah. And this, as Craig was saying, it's a great bridge beer. And people were looking for good craft Belgian style beers. And it's one of the reasons why I fell in love with Allagash so many years ago. And, you know, back to what you were saying about hoppy is that a lot of people these days just misinterpret what hoppy means. And there's some beers that are completely unbalanced and are not received well by the clientele, but if you create a well-balanced beer, then it's well-received.
All beer should be
all about well-balanced. Absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not. And that's where, you know, it hurts, it breaks my heart when I have people coming in every single day trying to sell me something, and I try it, and right off the bat, like, I have to break their heart and be like, guys, what are you trying to do here? And when I find a balanced beer, I'm like, send it to me, please. Give me 3 kegs of it or whatever, you know? And with this Belgian style, you know, especially this Asian akavit, you get these liquor flavors from the barrel aging, but you do get the presence of beer. It's still beer at its heart, and it's kind of like the beer that we tasted at the beginning where you had those very similar Chardonnay characteristics. You know, it blends two components and it really creates a new experience for the guest, and not just for their beverage purposes, but, you know, you can pair it even better with food. And, you know, on my side,
what would you pair with this? This is a 10% Belgian style beer. What would you pair with this?
Honestly, you can pair it with so many things, but right now when I'm drinking this, I kind of want to have a double cut apricot glazed pork chop. I don't know what that. I want to go to Babbo and I want to have their pork chop right now with this, because it is, although it is such a high alcohol content beer, it doesn't drink like it's high alcohol. It's scary, but it's delicious. And
just
I
just like Curio.
Yeah, Curio as well. Like, I really just want like a really good pork chop with this right now.
I think that's a good call. I could see this pairing really well with cheese too.
Yeah.
Like a aged Gouda or something like that. Right. Get those nice little like crystallized things going on,
or even also, like
chicken wings goes with everything. Chicken.
Yeah. I mean, that goes with everything.
That should be a T-shirt.
Chicken wings. Let's take one step back because we're running out of time soon. But Joel and Greg, so we're here in the middle of your cool little brewery here at N3's.
We are.
What are you guys doing? Like, when's your brew day? Is it Monday? Joel to tell me what he's doing his next brew day here. What are you doing?
Well, we don't have like a set schedule on that. More often than not, we brew on Fridays, just because it works out like that. Mondays and Tuesdays are usually transferring beer around, getting ready for distribution for the week. So mid to late week, we do most of our brewing.
So what Monday, Tuesday, what are you gonna do? You gonna take beer out of tanks and put them in kegs, or what?
Yeah,
just talk us through what you do.
We're going to fill kegs. We're going to transfer beer around. We're going to scramble to get whatever we need to done to get done done. There's no real set schedule. It's just we have this beer here. It needs to go here. This beer here. We need to fill this tank. You know, we just do what we have to do.
Beautiful
to
life.
Keep up.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with you guys because I'm one of your retail outlets at Jimmy's number 43. We're on a program now where, you know, we're getting two kegs a week, but you're one of the rare breweries that's actually already sold out weeks in advance. So when I get your sales list, I'm like ordering now about 3 weeks out, and no one else is doing that.
I think some of that is, you know, we brewed almost 1,200 barrels last year, but 80% of that was through the bar. So you could think of us as a, you know, one of the larger local breweries, or also as maybe one of the smaller local breweries, because we're really not putting that much beer out into the market. And we're, you know, as you said, we're sold out 2-3 weeks in advance. We're very selective about where we put our beer. And, you know, it's a function of the capacity that we have. You know, we're sitting here in an 800 square foot spot. You know, these guys are, you know, 6 inches away from fermenters. You know, there's caustic right over there. There's not much room.
And I heard small child like next to
it. Nice feeling to it, though, you know, you're using the space.
But, you know, it's one of the challenges of brewing in Brooklyn. We don't have a lot of space. And, you know, we've been lucky enough that people seem to be digging the beers that we're brewing. And as Joel was saying, every day is a scramble.
I would say New York City has got some of the best beers coming out now because of that. What are you saying? Because we have less space. The breweries, all the breweries are making kickbacks.
Really good.
Beers.
Yeah.
You guys. I just want to give a shout out to New York City.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. You know, because everyone is really confined with the space that they have, you know, every drop of beer that you brew and you package really needs to count. Because, you know, we could be brewing more, we just don't have the space.
No, you guys are rock stars. Listen, one more time, let's go around the room, start with Greg. You just say your name and your job, and we'll wrap up the show.
I'm Greg Dorosky, head brewer, partner in Threes Brewing.
I'm Corey McNutt, I'm a brewer at Allagash.
Joel Ford, assistant brewer at Threes Brewing.
Alex Biederman, I'm a paralegal.
And you won the Saison Day Homebrew Shop. Right.
I'm John LaPola, owner of Bitterness's Homebrew Shop in Prospect Heights.
My name is Eric Meter. I'm Allagash Maintenance.
Jared Matt. Jared Paul, I'm a general manager in the New York City food industry.
Great, and I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 42. This is a great show. Thanks to our producers and engineers, and check us out live every Tuesday on Heritage Radio Network. All right, guys.
Thanks,
cheers, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.